welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
God is so good. Is God good to you? He is so good to me. Have you ever been at that place to where things were going on in your life and you wonder why they're going on? Such as when I started getting sick, I said, Lord, I really don't want to get sick. I don't want to have this. I don't want to have all this stuff and everything. So I hear that song today that we sing about answering. I cried out to him, and what did he do, Charlie? He answered. He answered my prayers. So I was crying out to him. I said, Lord, help me. You know, but see, we have a timing that we believe it's supposed to happen at. Don't we? Yeah, we want it right now. We want instant grits. We want that instant stuff. And sometimes God favors us with that. Sometimes we don't really get it instantly. Sometimes it's just a work of a process that is happening. Let me ask you this. Is God in the process of working on anyone in the sanctuary today? Raise your hand. Say, look, now keep your hand up and I want you to look around. See, God is in the process. See, he isn't finished with us. His work is finished as far as on the cross. You see, we have still got this thing going on in us that we're maturing and getting better. And by the way, I see that hand, Tony. I see that hand, Tony. But by the way, since he raised his hand, let me point them out. They got baptized the other week in a river. I think it's just awesome. I do. I think they wanted to be baptized in the river, and I said, go for it. You know, go for it. Just hang on. You know. Amen, amen. They did great. Also, we have this week, I want to announce that this week we had another baby born this week. Amaris and Philip Airwood had their baby girl this week. So where's Robbie? Robbie, are you here? So he's a grandpa, so I don't see him right now. But I'm in awe about what God is doing. I really am. You know, we sing another song that says, even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. He's doing things in our lives that are so amazing. Just amazing. I want to talk to you a little bit about today about Jesus. Who is this man? Jesus. Who is this man? You know, sometimes I think it's very difficult for us to be able to grab hold, and it is for me. It's difficult to grab hold of Jesus, of all of who he is. Of all of who he is, the fullness of who he is. Sometimes we just can't latch hold to it. As a matter of fact, Ephesians tells us that we are to grow up into his fullness. And when the church, when we grow up into the fullness of who he is, I honestly believe that's when you're going to be able to see the church do the things that Jesus did and greater things. When we grow up into the fullness of who he is, we're going to see things that's going to be coming about, miracles and things and signs and wonders that's going to come through us by his power, because the fullness of him is able to operate. Do we have all of him? How many of you have just a little Jesus? None of you. You don't have just a little bit of Jesus. You have all of him. You have all of him. But we tend to think from the enemy perspective, we tend to think that we don't have this, we don't have, no, we have everything. We have him, we have it all. All that he is alive inside me. All that he is and ever will be is alive inside you. the very power that raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. That he abides inside us. So the power to raise Jesus from the dead. Do you know that Jesus was not the first one that was raised from the dead? But he was born. He was born from the dead. See, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Jesus was born from the dead. And he has made us. He's the first fruits to make us as a new template that about receiving him, then we are born again. A new creation. A new creature. Like one that has never been seen before. That all came from him. But see, sometimes we struggle with all of who Jesus is. We struggle with the fullness of who he is. And it's difficult sometimes for us to even believe that he's even God. I don't know. It's not a question. It's just sometimes we struggle with that. And I'm telling you that so did the disciples. So we have these things about Jesus that we wrangle with sometimes. We say the things, but then our life looks like it's a little bit different than what we say. Are y'all with me? Am I by myself? Are y'all with me? Okay, all right. So are you the understanding of these things? We need to know that the scripture that we read here, that the disciples were all, that was all Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were Jews. That's extremely important in today's culture. Extremely important in today's culture. So we need to understand that's who he is. The Bible says that there was all raised, the disciples were all raised when they were little because they were Jews and they were Jewish and they were in Jewish homes and they were told. Here, you know, the part of the scripture we read today to the little children, because they were little children as well, said, "Hear, O Israel, listen to this. The Lord your God is one. One God. There's not multiple gods. There's one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God." So they were taught that at the very beginning of their lives growing up. And they must have been confounded at times when Jesus walks on the scene and he walks up to these 12 guys and he said, "I want you to follow me." And they were so moved in their life to drop everything about their life and to follow this man named Jesus. Had they heard about the Messiah? He's coming. Yes, they had many, many times. He's coming. The Messiah's coming. Matter of fact, today, what do we know and what are we looking for? The second coming. He's coming. I don't care what the world looks like, and I don't care what everybody else is saying. He said he's coming. And he is coming. So one big question I have to ask you, are you ready for his coming? He came, but he said, "I'm coming again." And he is. He's coming for you. He's coming for his people. And things are going to greatly change when he comes. But see, they had some of the same struggles that we need to understand what they went through so we can help get through what we're going through concerning Jesus. Have you ever had this question? God, where are you? Has anybody ever asked that question? Been a believer. God, where are you? But what does the Bible say? Come on, talk to me. What does the Bible say? I'm inside you. I'm in you. You're in me. I'll never leave you. You may feel like I've left. You may think I left. But I have never left you. And I will never leave you. Never, ever will I leave you. So you have these questions, but let me tell you something about the devil. Let me tell you something about God. Devil will always bring up questions. He'll always bring up questions for you and I to be able to doubt who he is and what he said, who Jesus is, who God is, and what did God say? Has God really said that? And then all of a sudden we walk gingerly because we're not so sure because we hear this conflicting voice. See, Jesus did not say you will not hear any other voices. He said, but you'll know mine. My people will know me. He didn't say you wouldn't hear any voices but Jesus. He didn't say that. But he did say, he said, but when I speak you, my people, my sheep will know my voice. But it doesn't mean every voice you hear is the voice of God. But see, here we are. So I want to get into this a little bit. See, here we are. We have these things, and the disciples themselves struggled with Jesus. And so did the Pharisees, and so did the scribes, and the Sadducees. See, they were sad, you see. I always love saying that, but anyway. Look in Luke 5 with me, if you don't mind. Luke 5. And we'll have several scriptures, but we'll try to get through them as quickly as we can. It came about, Luke 5:17, it came about on the day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there. So here's the legal people with legalism, legalistic religion, with a list of rules that you got to do in order to get in. And the teachers of the law were sitting there, and they were from every village. But it said, the power of the Lord was present for him, for Jesus. I think that is listen to what it said. The power of the Lord was there for him to do miracles. The power was there. If you got to catch that. He laid down everything that he was in operation. He laid down everything to become a bond slave. In other words, he never stopped being God. He never stopped being king. But he laid every bit of that down in order to serve you, in order to become a man. He was 100% man. He was 100% God, but he didn't draw the God card when he was living his life on the earth. He depended solely upon the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon him. That's the reason that verse says the power of the Lord was there for him to perform miracles. Now here's a question. We're believers. We have Jesus operating inside of us. We belong to him. He belongs to us. Is the power present for us to be able to do whatever he wants us to do? Four people. I need more people. I need more people engaged in it. Think about it. Is the power available for us? Absolutely, to do whatever he wants us to go do. If he tells you to go lay hands on, see, but if we think we've got to see before we believe, we'll never step out in a faith-like posture that leads us to a thing that I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I know what he's telling me to go do now. That is so powerful. I don't really know what the end results are going to be, but I'm going to go do what he's telling me to go do now. That's faith. If you're already guaranteed the outcome, it's not faith. So here we have these disciples. They're all Jews. And then in this thing, he said, the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, there were some men that were carrying the bed of a man who was paralyzed. Now, there's so much in this that it's just, I can't get it all out. I'm not like Ray Hughes. Ray Hughes says, I feel like I'm a garden hose hooked up to a fire hydrant. I'm hooked to something that can push a whole lot more and through the capacity of what I can actually go do. You know, but that's how I feel sometimes. But I sort of feel like that today. Hadn't been in pulpit in about 2 weeks, so it's like, yeah, he's ready. Yeah, he's ready. You know, and I did remember that passage one time said, the Lord maketh me to lie down. Y'all don't get it. But anyway, yeah, so he made me lay down. He made me rest. He brought some rest to him. But anyway, so here's some men carrying a man's bed. And they want to carry him in, but they can't get to him. There's a crowd. They can't get to Jesus. And what they want to do is come in and lay him in front of Jesus. So they can't get in. So what do? They take the roof. They can't listen. Think about it. Boom, boom, boom. You know, cutting, and all of a sudden, a body starts coming down. Think about it. Don't wash over it. Think about what's actually going on. They were so determined to get this man, this paralyzed man, in the front of Jesus that they tear the roof off, lower him down in front of Jesus. And it says, right in the center, in front of Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning. But Jesus looks at him, and the Bible said he sees whose faith? He sees their faith. He sees the faith of the man that's carrying this man, carrying this bed. He sees their faith. Why? Because they're not going to be stopped. We need to understand our faith can't be stopped. We need to do what God wants us to do. Even we have to take the roof off the place. Let's do what God wants us to do. So you begin to see here, and listen, they're bringing him for what? Healing. What does Jesus says, friend. He looks at the men and sees their faith, and he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. He didn't come for his sins to be forgiven. He didn't. He came for healing. You have to look at this. He said, friend, but Jesus addresses this thing. He said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? What's the blasphemy? The forgiving of sins. Who is this man says he can forgive sins? And God's the only one that can forgive sins. I got news for you. That's who he is. Now, why did he say, listen, you got to capture this. Why did he say, friend, your sins are forgiven? Think about it. Why did he say that? The bottom, listen, we can't lose the connection of him saying, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So why did he say, friend, your sins are forgiven? He heard the Father say it. We must not move away from the fact that he is totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, the Father working through the Holy Spirit to work through him. Totally dependent upon that. We can jump over that real quick and say this and that, but that's the reason. Why did he say that? He heard the Father say it. Why did he do that? He saw the Father do it. He said, I don't take any initiative. My whole life is dependent upon him. So I felt like I'm yelling at all of y'all. I don't need to be yelling at you, but anyway. So is that clapping sin? keep yelling? Is that what you're... It said, so Jesus was aware of their reasonings, and then he said, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, your friends are forgiven, or the authority? He said, rise up and walk. Which one's easier for me to say? But I love the way Jesus does things. I really do. That's the reason it's cool to follow him. It really is. It's cool to walk with him. He said, but in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he looks over to the paralyzed man, and he says, I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home. Get up, get your bed, and go home. And at once the man got up before them, and he got the bed up that he's laying on, went home glorifying God. Think about it. They're all seized with amazement. They're all, whoa! They just asked the question, who is this guy? Who is this man? And he goes on, and they all began to glorify God, and they said, we have seen remarkable things today. I got news for you. Sometimes we see people healed, and it doesn't move us. And that's the reason I go back to the thing that Bobby Connor said a long time ago. He said, we are way too familiar with a God that we barely know. And we start getting so familiar that we look, the all of what he's doing, the all of who he is, the all of what he said begins to fade. We've got to keep perspective of who this is. Who is this man named Jesus? And it's like this. Well, you know, I've really got a, you know, if somebody said, I really got a bad headache, you know, and somebody else might say cancer. Let me ask you something. Which one is important to God? You having a headache or you having cancer? All of it. Their headache was healed, so no. We ought to be in awe. Somebody that suffered with migraines the whole life, let that be healed. It'll mean something to them. It needs to mean something to us. Anything that God does needs to mean something to us. Celebrate the little things. If a small child comes up and says, look, and something happens, and celebrate what God is doing in life. Celebrate what God's doing in your life. Celebrate what God's doing in your family's life. Here's a hard one. You ready? Your enemy. Your neighbor that doesn't like you. The neighbor that you don't get along with. Your friend that you don't get along with. He's being blessed out of his socks over here by God. You're struggling. Are y'all sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So here you are struggling, and the very one that has caused some trauma for you over here or caused some bad things for you, what does the Lord tell us to do? Celebrate what God is doing in that man's life, in that woman's life, in that person's life. Celebrate that. Okay. See, those are livable words, not just knowable words. We need to live out what we know. Okay. Okay. Luke 7, Luke 7:36, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to come and eat. So here's a religious person. I want you to come and eat with me. So Jesus, yeah, I'll come eat with you. Come eat with you. And he enters the Pharisee's house and he reclines at the table. And there was a woman, there's a woman in the city who was a sinner. I mean, Think about how the Bible sees this thing. There's a woman that shows up, and she's a sinner. I love the way the Bible is. And then she learned that he was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house, and they brought the alabaster vial, the alabaster perfume. When I read this, Kathy, are you still here? Kathy Taylor. Yeah, but no, okay. But anyway, every time I think about her, about her singing that song. But anyway, she bends over. She gets behind him at his feet, and she's not in front of him. She's by, and she wets his feet with her tears. And she's weeping with her hair hanging down and rubbing it, and he's kissing his feet and anointing him and with perfume. And then the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He said, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him. That she is a sinner." Jesus answered him and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he says, "Say on, teacher." He said, "A certain moneylender had two debtors, and one owed him 5,000 and another owed him 50. When they were unable to pay, he was gracious and forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, you think will love him more?" Simon said, "I suppose I love the Bible." You know, it's like he didn't suppose. You know, he knew which one, but then he gets, because you know why he's saying "I suppose"? He's not sure what Jesus is going to say. I suppose the one whom he forgave more, he said, "You have judged correctly." And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this man?" Here it is again. It wasn't the same thing, different thing. "Who is this man?" Basically said, who does he think he is? Because we don't think of him that way. "Who is this man who even forgives sin?" The woman, and he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Mark chapter 4. We look there. He said, Jesus has finished talking, and he goes and he looks at the disciples. Listen, he looks at the disciples. Mark chapter 4. Did I give you a verse? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. He looks at the disciples. He said, "Hey, guys, come on. We're going to the other side." What did he say? What did he just say? "We're going to the other side." Don't forget that. What did Jesus say? "We're going to the other side." There's a storm that comes up, a raging storm, so much that the waves were coming over the boat and filling up the boat. And Jesus is asleep. The boat's doing this. The boat's filling up. And Jesus is asleep. Listen, I know I got a lot to say, I really do, but let me stop and say this. When you know what Jesus said, you can sleep in a storm. When you believe, you know and you believe what Jesus said, you can sleep in the storm. When you know and you believe what Jesus said, you can sleep in the storm. Amen. It's true. It's so true. But when we have doubt, when we said, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure. So when you're not sure about what he said, you're not sure about who he is. Oh, that is so good. When you're not sure about what he said, you're not sure about who he is. Okay, let's finish this one. It's in Mark, right? So all this stuff is happening. They go to the teachers. They said, "Don't you care?" They wake him up from a sound sleep, and he said, "Hey, don't you care? The boat's filling up. We're going down. Don't you even care?" Listen, We've said some of the same things to Jesus. We haven't used those words. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We say, listen, God, if you really love me, you'd do this. God, if you really cared, you'd let this happen. Anyway, so he gets up, he awakens, he's awake. He gets up, he rebukes the winds, and the Bible says, "Hush, be still." You know what it says in the Greek? Shut up. I mean, shut up. Hush, be still. Enough of that. So he gets up, does what he's told to do by the Father. He does that, and it becomes perfectly. Now, this is the disciples in the boat. Now, what did Jesus say when he was on the shore? Where are we going? To the other side. We're in the middle, and here's something that's happening. The wind is raising, the waves are going over, the boat's filling, the boat's rocking and rolling. What'd he say? We're going to the other side. Your circumstances may look contrary to what Jesus actually said. But what Jesus actually said is what's actually going to happen. That's who he is. That's who he is. So they become fearful, and they said to one another, he rebukes them a little bit and says, "Why are you so timid? Why are you fearful? Where's your faith? You have such a little faith." Little faith in what? What he said. We're going to the other side. Then they became afraid, and they said, said to one another, "Who is this?" These are the disciples. Who is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. There's one more in John 8. I don't have time to go into that one. But he's already stood up and said, "I am the light of the world." And the Pharisees said, look, he's testifying of himself. He's giving a witness about himself, a testimony about himself, and he's lying. That's what they're saying. Because he said, "I am the light of the world." He said, but the testimony is not. They said, testimony is not true. So when you read it on down, they look at it, and he said, I have forgiven the sins again. And he says, and they said, look at him, and said, "Who are you?" I mean, it's just plain and simple. Who are you? And sometimes we have those same questions. Who are you? Who are you? He's coming in on a donkey. He's at the last stages of his life here. He's about to go to the Calvary and everything. The people are saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They got these palm leaves and they're just having a great time. They're pitching a party. I mean, they're paving the way for him. And he comes in on the donkey. Y'all remember that? All the people are just praising him and all that kind of stuff. And all that's going on. And then when he comes in and he goes into Jerusalem, the whole city is stirred and the whole city is saying, "Who is this?" So from beginning to end, it's, who is this? And then Jesus, here he is. He's with the disciples. And he begins to say this. And this is where this thing comes to a point of our lives today. He looks at them and says, What's the word on the street about me? That's today's word. He said, who do men say that I am? What's the word on the street? What's the reputation? What's my reputation out there? What are people saying? They say, "Well, you're a prophet." Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah coming back. And some people think you're Jeremiah. See, all that was good. Nothing wrong with all that. But that was the word on the street. See, that was just a talk on the street. Did I give you a passage, Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16, verse 12 through and all that kind of stuff. But then that's when he turns, and this is where we are today. This is the question. He says to them, well, who do you say I am? That's the question today. Who do you say he is? And this word about, this whole thing about who do you say? This word about what say you? This is not idle talk. It's not a conversation. It's not a chat. Who are you? What do you talk? What is your talk about me? That's not what he's asking. What is your normal conversation about me? That's not what he's asking. What he's asking, this thing about say in the Greek, it means that you are, what can you release with your words? What can you release with your words that has been substantial in your life, and it affirms and validates who I am in you, or who I am to you? In other words, it's solid about who I am in you. It's not an idle. It's just not just a conversation. It's not a chat. It's not just a talk. He's asking them deep down, I'm asking you, who am I? Who do you say that I am? Who did he ask? The Bible says that he asked all of them. He asked every one of them. He asked every one of them, who do they say that I am? Then he's looking at all of this, but there wasn't but one that answered. One person answered. Who was it? Who was it? It was Peter. Peter said, I know the answer. I know the answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, amen. Amen. Thou art the Christ. The Christ here is the Messiah. You are the Messiah. The Messiah means the deliverer. You are the deliverer. Peter is saying something that he don't even understand. Really? Yeah. He's saying this and he don't even understand why he's saying it. But see, he's got all of his knowledge of being with Jesus. He's seen all the miracles. He's heard all of his words. He's heard all of his teachings. He's heard everything. So he's had all of this experience and all of this witness of experience being with him. So that's where he came up with it. How do we know that? Jesus, he said, you're a blessed man. He said, but flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father, who is in heaven, has revealed this to you. Which he said, you don't even know what you're saying. It didn't come from experience. It didn't come from that. It came from revelation. God revealed. My Father revealed to you what you just said. And what he just said is this, that when you look at the original language here, he says this. You see, he's heard about the Messiah coming. You have to understand this. He's been with Jesus, hadn't he? All this while, he's sat down, laid down. He's been with him. All this time, he's been with Jesus. And what he's saying, he said, you are the Messiah. You are the one. And then it says, you are Christ. You are the Son of the living God. The Son of God means that he is God. When in Hebrew, when they say the Son of, that means that's who you are. The Son of, that's who you are. The Son of God, he is God. Think about what Peter is saying. It's amazing. It's astonishing. It's absolutely mind-blowing that he would be able to say and look at the man that's laying beside him, sitting beside him, and he looks at him, listen to this, and said, you are God. Think about it. You are God. He's already heard, so there's only one God. His parents just told him there ain't but one God. So he's making this declaration, you are God. It's like me looking at you and saying, you're God. You have to think about that for a moment. I'm not going to say that, but I can say he is a child of the living God. But see, Peter actually pointed out, you are him. You are the one. You are the only one. There's never been another. Actually, Jesus is not the second Adam. Jesus is the last Adam, because there's not going to be a third. You hear what I'm saying? So the question is this. Who do you say he is? That's the question. What's inside you that will make you declare something to be? It won't change, won't ever change, and this is who it is. But see, Peter, listen to this. Peter did that, and right around a turn of about 2 or 3 minutes, Jesus, from that moment on, Jesus starts saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. And Peter said, nip. He just got a revelation from the Father of who Jesus was. Jesus says, I'm about to go die. Listen to this. Jesus said, I'm about to go die. And he takes Jesus aside, rebukes Jesus, and says, not going to happen. This ain't going to happen. So Jesus has to look at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Now what? Now you're looking at Peter, but he's talking to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. He said, your mind, listen to this. Your mind are not on the things of God. They're on the things of man. Your interest is not on the interest of God. They're on the interest of man. So even if you get a revelation, even if we get revelation, we got to make sure that our minds are set on the interest of God. Okay. I'm like Forrest Gump. I think that's all I got to say about that. I love you guys. I love you. I really love you. I really want you to understand that this thing about walking with Jesus and who Jesus is, we need to have it settled in our lives of who he is, who he really is to us, not talk, not just a conversation, not just chatting. But what is your declaration? What is your declaration that's inside you? That's a resolve that will never change. And say, we'll need revelation from the Father to make those. So God is still talking to us today about who Jesus really is. And he needs to be that to us. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience today. Thank you for willingness to endure. And thank you for listening. But most of all today, what I wanted to make sure of, do you know this man named Jesus? Yes. Do you know who he is? If you do not know and would like to know, today is the day for you to make sure that you know. So is there anyone here that would say, I want to meet this man. I have doubts, so I want to meet this man. If that's you, you come down. You come down to the front. Brother Doug will be here. Doug, come on down if somebody wants to come. I want you to make sure today that there's no question about it. If somebody says, can you tell me about Jesus? It's a wonderful opportunity for you to make the declarations of who he truly is. He's just not a figure. He's just not a prophet. He's just not a teacher. He's all of that, but he's so much more. So much more. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the time that you've given us to assemble in your name. Because, Lord, you have told us that if we gather together, and we are truly gathered here today in your name, and your promise is that you'll be in our midst. And, Father, I have felt your presence of the Holy Spirit today. I have felt you tangibly, that you're doing work. You're moving in the hearts. You're moving in the minds. You're moving. And Lord, I just pray that once we know you, who you truly are, that we will keep our mind set on the interest of God and the kingdom and not on the interest of man. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget, there is a shower. There's a drop-in shower in the foyer for Amanda and Austin.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.